secret place of his tabernacle, he will hide me. Psalm 27, 5 and 6. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27, 1. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Psalm 145, verse 8. Matthew 4, 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, 4. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 19. There are many beautiful words in man's vocabulary. There are also some sad words. And I come tonight to share with you from this verse of Scripture, 2 Chronicles 24, 19, what I would consider as some extremely sad words. The sad words are, they would not listen. They would not listen. Keep that in mind, please, as we prepare for the study of God's Word, praying for these first few moments. May we pray together, please. Father, we're here tonight as a result of your grace, and we thank you so very much that we are your children, members of the royal family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the opportunity which is ours now to turn our attention away from the distractions of this world and focus our minds upon these eternal truths. We're thankful that you've blessed us so richly, and we are always grateful for the fact that we see on a day-by-day basis that you continually watch over us and protect us. And we are thankful indeed for all of these great blessings. We're aware of the fact tonight that there are individuals in this congregation who have various burdens and trials and tests and difficulties. We realize that you've given us the assurance in your word that you would not leave us. You would never forsake us. And so we pray that your grace and your strength will be upon those tonight who have these special burdens and concerns. We're thankful for the opportunity which is ours to open our minds to the Word of God. We pray that we will do so with diligent hearts tonight. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask, if you will please, to turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. We're going to begin our reading with verse 18. They abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guilt. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. Though they testified against them, they would not listen. Those are sad words indeed. They would not listen. The sad thing is that there are many people today who've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but they're not willing to listen and learn and advance as individuals saved by God's grace. Last Sunday, if you'll remember, in the first service, we dealt with King Asa and presented the subject, faith and failure, taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. When we came to the second service of last Sunday, we dealt with King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17, and gave you some information on it's the Lord's battle. Many times we've heard the statement, the battle is the Lord's, but I chose to change the wording and say it's the Lord's battle. Tonight we find ourselves in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 19. And I said, and I repeat, they would not listen. And this is in relationship to King Joash. It's always amazing to me when I study and when I prepare information, I type the information out, and so often, not but just once in a great while, of course, I make a mistake. And I want you to know that I said that tongue-in-cheek because I make a lot of mistakes. And oftentimes when I send the information over to our secretary, our amanuensis, she corrects those mistakes. And I appreciate that. If she doesn't catch them, then Mike does. And so somewhere along the line, when they get out into the world, perhaps the mistakes are corrected. I want you to know that I went back today and took a look over my notes. And I noticed that I had come to a person's name whose name is spelled J-E-H-O-I-D-A, Jehoiada. And so I'm going to remind you that I went ahead and copied this so that you will know that every time you see the word Jehoiada tonight, you're going to see that I've misspelled it. I don't want you laughing while I'm preaching because the information is good, but I do want you to see that I am correcting here for you because I wanted to send the information back over and have it all corrected, but I won't have time to do all of that, and I'm not sure whether they caught the misspelling of the word. The word is Jehoiada, J-E-H-O-I-D-A. On the screen, you will see that Jehoiada in the Hebrew Bible was a prominent priest during the reigns of Ahijah and Adaliah and Joash. Jehoiada became the brother-in-law of King Ahijah as a result of his marriage with Princess Jehosheba. Now, you can pronounce that any way you want to. Both Jehosheba and Ahijah were children of King Jehoram of Judah. Ahijah died a year after assuming the throne, which was then usurped by his mother, Adaliah, who ordered the execution of all members of the royal family. I went back to get this information, type it out for you, so that you'd be able to see how to spell Jehoiada, J-E-H-O-I-D-A. Now, let me remind you that when we got to the book of 2 Chronicles, I said that there were five kings that we have here that were kings related to revivals. Revivals in the 2 Chronicles. There was the King Asa in chapter 15. There is King Jehoshaphat in chapter 20. There's King Joash in chapters 23 and 24. There is King Hezekiah in chapters 29 to 31. And King Josiah in chapter 35. Most of you remember, because I realize that the preaching was so good that you will not forget it, that we've already dealt with Asa in chapter 15. We've looked at Jehoshaphat in chapter 20. And tonight we come to Joash in chapters 23 and 24. Next Sunday we'll be looking at these next two kings, Hezekiah and Josiah. I'm giving you time to write this in case you didn't get it last Sunday. But these are kings, and we call these the revival kings of 2 Chronicles. There is Asa in chapter 15, Jehoshaphat in chapter 20, Joash in chapters 23 and 24, Hezekiah in chapters 29 to 31, and Josiah in chapter 35. I've already made mention of the fact that these are very, very sad words indeed. And the title of the message tonight is, They Would Not Listen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 19, we have an emphasis here. And I want you to see that this is a revival in King Josiah. And the passage of Scripture is 2 Chronicles chapters 23 and 24. When I go to chapter 24 and verse 1, here's what I begin to read. Joash was 7 years old when he became king. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah from Bathsheba. I want you to stop, if you will, to look at that verse. This is chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles and verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. Now, if you'll move right on over to verse 18 of chapter 24, and you'll discover then that the emphasis here is upon the people having abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and they served Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guilt. I don't want you to miss what is being presented to us in the 18th verse of 2 Chronicles chapter 24. They abandoned the house of the Lord. That's the first thing that's mentioned here. The God of their fathers. They served the Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guilt. Then verse 19, which is our verse, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. He sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. Though they testified against them, they would not listen. You'll see on the king, on the screen, the emphasis on the king who was influenced by a godly man. After the reign of King Solomon, the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. Israel on the one hand, which is known as the northern kingdom, 10 of the 12 tribes. Judah, the southern kingdom, 2 of the 12 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. If you take a look at these two, you will discover that Israel had 19 kings. All of them are presented as not being great at all bad. Not a good one in the lot as far as we can tell. When you come to Judah, you will discover that they had 20 kings. 8 were good, 5 were godly, and were the revival kings. And so we have an emphasis then upon those 5, and we have mentioned it a number of times. These 5 godly revival kings are Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, who is our king for tonight, Hezekiah, and Josiah, the kings for next Sunday. They were raised up by God to bring periods of revival and reformation to the nation. What I'm discovering is, as I study the Bible from verse to verse and chapter to chapter, book by book, that God has a plan, and he has a plan for individuals' lives. As we look over the timeline and we look over all the various things that were happening at these various events in history, we will discover also that God used different individuals as prophets. These individuals were raised up by the Heavenly Father to bring periods of revival and reformation to the nation. The Old Testament books of Kings and Chronicles overlap and cover the same period of history. They're similar, yet different. The Kings present mainly a historical account of those two nations. While when you go to the Chronicles, you will discover that the Chronicles present God's view of history. So we discover then that 2 Chronicles can be classified as a book of revival. Each of these 5 godly revival kings illustrate, I believe, a different principle of revival or restoration. I'd like to ask you, if you will, please, to look carefully at what I have now for you, because I want you to see that there's an emphasis on each one of these 5 kings. Asa, there's an emphasis there upon obeying the laws of God. When you looked at Jehoshaphat, we will discover that there's an emphasis upon the teaching of the Word of God. And then when we come tonight to Joash, we discover that here's an emphasis upon a king, and the emphasis here is upon restitution, or paying what is due. Next Sunday, when we look at Hezekiah, we're going to see an emphasis on cleansing the temple, and Josiah return to hearing God's word. It's very interesting to me to be able to make my way through these kings. The reason why I'm repeating is because I want you to see that each one of these kings is very important. King Asa, King Jehoshaphat, King Joash, King Hezekiah, and King Josiah. We come now tonight to the third of the godly kings of Judah that experienced revival and reform during their time of reign. First, we see Asa. Second, we've already seen Jehoshaphat. and tonight, Joash. Joash was the great-grandson of Jehoshaphat. Now, I don't know how much you're interested in all the history that I'm going to be sharing. I'm going to not give you a lot, but I'm going to give you some. Joash was the great-grandson of Jehoshaphat, one of the godly kings of Judah. His grandmother was Athaliah, who was either the sister or the daughter of Ahab, king of Israel. She had married one of the sons of Jehoshaphat. We first see some palace intrigue and treachery after the death of Joash's father. We find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 23, verses 10, 11, and 12. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to open your Bibles this evening, and let's look at the verses that I have listed for you to follow me in reading. Please follow as I read 2 Chronicles 23, 10, 11, and 12. And he stationed all the people, each man with his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, by the altar and by the house around the king. Verse 11, then they brought out the king's son and put the crown on him, gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, long live the king. Now, if you will, look at verse 12. When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came into the house of the Lord to the people. Now, I want you to see that we will discover now Athaliah was a very wicked and evil individual. I've been told that there's not anything more wicked than a wicked woman. Now, I don't know whether I should say that tonight or not, but since I've already said it, I guess I'm in trouble. So I'm going to go ahead and show you that Athaliah was a very wicked and evil woman. But thank God that, on the other hand, there are some very godly women, even though there are a lot of ungodly women. So I put myself a little note here to protect myself. Although Athaliah was a very wicked and evil woman, thank God for every other woman who is not an ungodly woman, but a godly woman. Joash's great aunt saves his life and preserves the line of David, as we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 11. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, now to back up to 2 Chronicles chapter 22, and let's look at verse 11. And it says, but Jehoshabeath, the king's daughter, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death. Now, I want you to get the mental picture. We have individuals being put to death, and so we see that the lady, daughter, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of, let me see if I can be on the same line, Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she would not put him to death. Now, let me let you see what's being presented here. We discover that we have the child, Joash, the only surviving heir to the throne of David, being hidden now from this wicked queen, Athaliah, for the next 6 years by the high priest Jehoiada. Now, this is where the fun begins, because I started going through my notes to see how many times I had typed the word Jehoiada. And I discovered that over and over and over again, I had misspelled the word. So you'll just have to forgive me, and we'll just emphasize that I went through my notes and I put a little A where it's supposed to be. You can do that in your own taking notes. So we discover then that we have the child, Joash, the only surviving heir to the throne of David, being hidden from the wicked queen Adaliah for the next 6 years by the high priest Jehoiada. If you remember what I read at the beginning tonight, I gave you some information on this high priest Jehoiada. For 6 years then, Jehoiada, the high priest, waited. For 6 years, Adaliah usurped the throne. For 6 years, she led the nation into idolatry. For 6 years, the priest of Baal prospered. I think you ought to take some time to think about what I'm presenting to you there. But in the midst of all that I've said, but still, Jehoiada waited until the time was right. When you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 23, it tells us that in the seventh year, Jehoiada made his move. He gathered the faithful men of Judah together, and they crowned this king, Joash, at the age of 7 years of age. Now let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 23, beginning with verse 11. And we'll read down from 11 through 15. Then they brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, gave him the testimony, and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, "Long live the king." When Adaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came into the house of the Lord to the people. And she looked, and behold, the king was standing by his pillar at the entrance. And the captains and the trumpeters were beside the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets, the singers with their musical instruments leading the praise. Then Adaliah tore her clothes, and she said, "Treason, treason!" And Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of the hundreds who were appointed over the army, said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks, and whoever follows her, put to death with a sword." For the priest said, "Let her not be put to death in the house of the Lord." So they seized her, and when she arrived at the entrance of the horse gate of the king's house, they put her to death there. We've just read for you 2 Chronicles 23:11 through 15. Jehoiada, the high priest, was a remarkable man. He was God's servant. He had no selfish motives. He had no selfish ambitions. He only wanted God's will and not his own. One of the greatest things that could be said about you and me tonight is that we want not our will, but God's will be done. Joash is considered one of the five godly kings of Judah. But the godly reign of Joash is more about the godly high priest of Jehoiada than about Joash. I want you to remember what I'm trying to get over this evening. Since Joash was only 7 years of age when he came to the throne, Jehoiada was regent of the nation. When you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 23 and begin reading where we're going to start now in verse 16, we're going to see some more about this great man, Jehoiada. Look, if you will, at verses 16 to 21. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and all the people and the king that they should be the Lord's people. You talk about something wonderful. Here's a person who has it right. And Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and all the people and the king that they should be the Lord's people. And all the people went to the house of Baal and tore it down. And they broke it in pieces, his altars and his images, and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Verse 18. Moreover, Jehoiada placed the offices of the house of the Lord under the authority of the Levitical priest, whom David had assigned over the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing according to the order of David. He stationed the gatekeepers of the house of the Lord so that no one should enter who was in any way unclean. He took the captains of hundreds, the nobles, the rulers of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the house of the Lord and came through the upper gate to the king's house. They placed the king upon the royal throne. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had put Adoniah to death with a sword. We come to verse 16, and I reiterate some things now. In this verse, we see the national covenant was renewed. Israel was to be the people of God. They were to serve God and serve God alone. What I'm trying to say to you this evening is that we have a responsibility to serve God and serve God alone. I'm amazed when I look at this man, Jehoiada. The national covenant was renewed in verse 16. Israel was to be the people of God. They were to serve God and serve God alone. When you go to verse 17, the idolatry and the worship of Baal was destroyed. I read that to you a few moments ago. The temples, altars, and images of Baal were shattered by the people. What I'm saying here is that sin must be forsaken and overthrown. And secondly, God must reign supreme over all. You're listening carefully because I want you to see now, number three, the worship of Jehovah was restored in verses 18 and 19, which we read a few moments ago. When you look at these two verses, verses 18 and 19, you'll see praise and thanksgiving fill the courts of God's house, and worship was restored in its ancient purity. When you look at verses 20 and 21, you'll see that the throne of Judah, David, was established. Joash then was elevated to his lawful place as king. The priesthood was elevated to its highest honor. While Joash was a child, Jehoiada virtually reigned. As Samuel elevated the office of the prophet, so Jehoiada elevated the office of the high priest. When you go to chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, you'll discover something here taking place. When he died, they buried him with the kings. I could stop and dwell on that for a few moments, but not do it, because I have a lot more to say in the remaining minutes tonight. Roman numeral 2, the early reign of the king Joash, is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. I hope you have your Bible open to chapter 24, because we're going to take a quick view. We're going to move rapidly, not reading all these verses, but take you from verse to verse. The early reign of King Joash is found in the 24th chapter of 2 Chronicles. The first thing that I mentioned to you, found in verses 4 and 7, he was minded to repair God's house. That's presented to us in verses 4 and 7. Then, number 2, he sent the Levites together in offering of the people. That's revealed to us in chapter 24, 5 and 8. When you go down to verse 11, you will see that he made a chest for the offering, the chest of Joash. This is found again in verse 11. When you go to verses 12 and 13, you'll see that there was an emphasis upon repairing God's temple. And then when you move on down, you will see something drastic now taking place. We see the downfall of Joash. Could I pause for a moment to remind you again that every individual that I've studied, I've always discovered that there is something that could be classified as a flaw. I could find in any individual, no matter who it is in the Word of God, that no one other than Jesus Christ, no one was perfect other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm seeing now there's a downfall in this King Joash. There, see that there are four things that led to Joash's downfall. The first thing is presented to us in chapter 24, verse 2, and then verse 17. As long as Jehoiada was around to guide him, Joash was good. But after Jehoiada died, what happened was he followed the people instead of God. May I stop for a moment to tell you how tragic it is for people to stop following God and following the Word of God? What is so sad is that many people haven't even started following God and following the Word of God. They would not listen. They would not listen. They would not listen. I thought about that a lot as I thought about naming this subject, this sermon tonight, the subject. They would not listen. And I went over that and went over that in my own thinking over and over again. And I thought about it, individuals whom I love and appreciate. And it seems like that they are not willing to listen. And that bothers me. That really disturbs me. And yet I'm here to tell you that I don't make the decision for individuals. They have to make their own personal and individual decisions. And so no matter what happens, my responsibility is to come to this place and teach the Word of God. Those of you who are here, you get it. Those who choose not to be here for whatever reason, they don't get it unless they get on the internet and find it there. But we discover, as long as Jehoiada was around to guide Joash, things were going great. But when Jehoiada died, here's a man now that begins to follow people and not follow God. That's presented to us in chapter 24, verse 2, and then down in verse 17. I must hasten. When you go to verse 18, you will discover that the scripture says he neglected the strongholds. The parallel passage of 2 Kings 12 tells us that the high places were not torn down. Now, what I want you to see is that there's a comparison here. When you look at 2 Chronicles and when you look at 2 Kings, the parallel passage in 2 Kings chapter 12 tells us the same thing that this passage is telling us, but it says the high places were not torn down. The high places were centers of idol worship on hilltops. Now, I could get into a discussion tonight that would just twist your hair and probably make some hair stand on the back of your your backs as a result of what some places, some things were doing, people were doing in some places that are discovered here. The high places were centers of idol worship on the hilltops. False worship instead of true worship. Altars, similar to God's altar, were found there, but they were counterfeits. I'm so tempted to tell you some things that are just downright sad, but I won't. You can look it up yourself if you so desire. Find the word groves, see what it all means. Find the idol worship and how they worshiped and see what all took place. Also, we discover something else that took place. In his life, he surrendered the sacred. When you go to 2 Kings chapter 12, 17 and 18, he surrendered what he should not have surrendered. I thought about this and typed out a little note for you. When push comes to shove, what comes first? He bribed the enemy with the things that belong to God instead of seeking God's face. I'm very careful to let you see what I'm presenting here. He surrendered what he should not have surrendered. There are people today who do that very same thing. They surrender what they should not be surrendering. When push comes to shove, what comes first? He bribed the enemy with the things that belong to God instead of seeking God's face. When I came to this point in the message preparation, I stopped and I typed a question. You see it on the screen. What about us? When push comes to shove, what is it that comes first in our lives? God or a job? God or our budget? God or our pleasures? When push comes to shove, what is it that comes first? The fourth thing that I notice about him, he ignored God's call to repentance. That's presented to us in 2 Chronicles 24, 19 to 22. I would encourage you to read that passage, 2 Chronicles 24, 19 to 22. Look at it over and over again. Instead of heeding God's message, Joash desired to kill the messenger. I thought about this and just added a little bit of humor to it. Sometimes when people don't like the message, they would like to shoot the preacher. You didn't get that, but that's okay. There's a fourth thing that I want you to see, and that is the death of Joash is found in verse 25. God's judgment fell upon this man for his sins, and he was murdered in his sleep. When he was buried, he was not considered worthy to be buried with the kings. Conclusion. Something to note in the revivals that I mentioned in 2 Chronicles. In true revival, people, not just leaders, turn to God. This is very important for you to see. In true revival, people, not just leaders, not just ministers, turn back to God. Number two. In revival, not all the people will turn back to God. Number three, in revival, not all people turn back to God to the same extent. Some people turn back wholly. Some turn back partially. We're talking about the emphasis upon they would not listen. Revival means to revive something that is alive. You and I are born again believers. We've been made alive. We can become cold and indifferent, filled with apathy and lethargy. But we don't have to stay that way. In revival, not all people turn back to God in the same extent. Some people turn back wholly, completely. Some turn back partially. Number four, some turn from sin. On the other hand, some hung on to some of their sins. And I say in last, in the closing, sin always brings judgment. I go back to my passage of scripture. They abandoned the house of the Lord. How sad, how tragic that is. They abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers. And they served Asherim. In other words, an emphasis upon idolatry. This, we could get into a discussion there of the fact of Ashtarte and Asherim and all this, which is emphasized right here. And the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guilt. Then verse 19. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. He sent prophets to them. I've been analyzing the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. I've been looking over the time and the various aspects in relationship to. And I've discovered, and you probably have discovered it also, that along the way, through all of the disappointments of individuals and how some of them went right for a period of time and then went away from God, all along the time you will look down and you will see that God had prophets and prophets and prophets all the way. That's what this is saying. Yet he sent prophets to them. For what reason? To bring them back to the Lord. And yet, they would not listen. That is so sad. Just for us to think about it in our day, when the Lord, I believe, wants us to see that we need to come back to God. We need to have in our hearts and minds what you would classify as a revival, coming back to a right relationship with the Lord. The only thing that will spare our nation is for born-again believers to realize the importance of being properly related to the Lord. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Tonight, Father, we are aware of the fact that we need revival. Our nation needs revival. Our world needs revival. We're keenly aware of the fact tonight that there is a desperate need. We pray that we will understand the importance of listening to what the Word of God says to us. Help us not to be willing to destroy the communication and the communicator of the Word, but help us to be willing to listen and to obey. The greatest need of our individual hearts, the hearts of mankind throughout the ends of the earth, is to be properly related to our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray tonight for those who are listening to this message, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, how wonderful it would be for them if they would do what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. But as many as received Him, that's Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. The Scripture reveals very vividly that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." So we're aware of the fact that there's only one way of salvation. It's faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those who will trust you. And then tonight, help each one of us as believers to realize the importance of having a revival in our own soul, coming back to a right relationship, a consistent, faithful relationship to our Savior. We thank you for the wonderful blessings of life. In Jesus' name, amen.